Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. Today's topic is a status report from the three county executive leaders in our broadcast area, Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties. Each interview was recorded separately during the past week, so very recent events will not be referenced. We begin with Racine County Executive Jonathan Delgrave. Good morning, Mr. Delgrave.
Hi, Len. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
We want to know how things are faring for Racine County in 2021. Why don't we start by taking a look at how satisfied you are with the county budget? What's the status of it? What's the status of your aid from the state? How do you think Racine County is going to be faring in 2021? What will be the impact on your constituents, service-wise and fiscally in terms of tax-wise?
Well, we looked at our county budget from the perspective of, you know, walking in or having experienced COVID and civil unrest. And, you know, we wanted to be bold and tell our residents of Racine County that, you know, look, we have a lot of challenges, but we want to make key investments to show, again, our community, our taxpayers, that Racine County continues to move forward in key objectives. So that's kind of where we started our premise with. So we looked at a number of key items, Len. More investment in our sheriff's office in terms of body cameras and really the latest technology that goes with body cameras for our law enforcement personnel. And then really being able to give our law enforcement officers, in particular our sheriff's deputies, the latest and greatest, the most update, best practice training methods. Because as we know, we've seen throughout our country that our law enforcement officers' job is more difficult. So we want to make sure that they get the latest best practice training. And so we made a key investment in that area as well. We also looked into improving our racial equity, investing in a key position to be able to execute some of those objectives while having a return on investment for our taxpayers and our businesses. $3 million in county highways, that's the largest amount of investment in our roads in Racine County history. We made an acquisition of with the state of Wisconsin in partnership for a key trail that connects now all of our trails in Racine County. We had about 11-mile stretch that was a former railroad, a railroad crossing that extended east and west in our county. We were able to remove that railroad and then, with the help of the state, buy that and convert it into a key trail that now all of our trails are. We invested in our parks as well, an almost $4 million facility going into our Quarry Lake Park, which is going to be able to host not just those who want to enjoy the park, but weddings. We're going to have concerts out there, a permanent beer garden. So, you know, overall, we wanted to make sure that our community, our county taxpayers know that we want to be bold and that we're moving forward.
And what will be the tax increase or decrease in the coming year?
So the tax rate actually went down, partly due to, you know, our being efficient, and partly we had a record-breaking new construction in Racine County, with not just projects like Foxconn, but other key manufacturers that we were able to draw into Racine County, and then new housing development. So our tax rate went from about $3.16 per thousand, or I'm sorry, it went from almost $3.30 per thousand down to about $3.16 per thousand. So about a 4% drop.
Well, they'll be happy about that. Now, you don't have a sales tax in Racine County, do you?
No, we're one of four counties that do not exercise our option of putting on a half-cent sales tax. That would generate between $16 to $20 million. I think projections by the year 2025, we'd almost be at the $30 million mark a year with that half cent sales tax, but we currently don't exercise our option on that.
I know Kenosha and I believe Walworth County has got a little boost over the summer because of businesses being a little more open here than south of the border. So you missed out on that. But you say the construction activity in the county more than made up for other issues that you might have had. Do you think that the budget restrictions that are imposed by Madison are going to be causing you trouble in the next couple or 3 years with your county budget?
Well,
do you have the freedom you need, Mr. Delagrave?
Well, Len, that's a great question. And, I want to give you a thoughtful answer here. And, counties like Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth, we're taking on more responsibility. So if you look at, let's just say that from five years ago, we didn't have body cameras. And that, not buying the body cameras, because that's a capital project, but the operational standpoint, that's about $500,000 a year for us that, we didn't have that responsibility 5 years ago. Cybersecurity is another piece to this where we really didn't have to have serious upgrades in our cybersecurity. Now, we've had to be able to spend that. So, our hope is while we believe that levy limits are fair, but we also hope that the state does look at kind of the additional responsibilities that we're taking on in the changing world that we live in.
Thank you. Now, the social justice initiatives that you've already mentioned sound pretty exciting. And you mentioned body cams for sheriff's deputies. Where do you feel you stand with respect to the actual use of those body cams and dash cams that, in fact, they get turned on when they're supposed to be and that the records are stored in such a way that they don't disappear? Are you happy with the regulations you have in place?
Yeah, well, another great question. So we were the first in the state of Wisconsin to get body cams. And now what we've done is we've taken that technology and advanced it where when a sheriff's deputy he's in his squad car and he turns on the lights for whatever reason, those cameras automatically turn on. When they pull their taser or if a unfortunate circumstance where they have to pull their gun out, their body cameras will turn on. And through Bluetooth technology, if there's officers within a certain amount of feet, their cameras will turn on as well. So you'll have other angles to look at. And the storage piece is something that all municipalities and counties have to sift through of how long do you keep it? What should you be storing? And it can be quite expensive. So, we look at it, almost on a month by month basis, so we can, not have huge cost to that. But it is a cost burden for all that additional storage.
County Executive Delagrave, the election, I think, is finally behind us here in the state of Wisconsin. And I wonder, looking back over the fall general election and the spring primaries, and then we have a summer primary. What have you learned?
Well, I've learned that we've done a really good job in Racine County in managing our elections and reporting out efficient results, accurate results. I've learned that we have exceptional poll workers. We have exceptional municipal clerks that are facilitating our elections. But we also have to be vigilant and diligent to looking at what's next in terms of providing, fair and free elections here in Racine County. So while, we'll never declare victory, we're happy with what we've done the last year, but we always want to be vigilant and determining what we could do better.
Do you have any concerns with the status of the election equipment you're using, or do you feel you've got things that are as up to date as you need to have them now?
Well, 2 years ago, Racine County brought all of our all 17 of our municipalities together, and what we said is, look, we need to buy new voting equipment. So what the county did is we fronted the costs for the municipalities to buy that new voting equipment. They paid us back, and we're all, so we've got really rather new voting equipment in that all of our municipalities are on the same page because they have the same voting equipment. So we felt that investment was critical at the time, and we're even more thankful now.
I've read with interest and hopefulness about the new regional juvenile detention center planned in your neck of the woods. It seems to be also connected with social justice in the sense that it's not conceived as just a pen to hem people in, but as a place of learning and rehabilitation as well. What's the status of that? What's the outlook for the new juvenile detention center? How do you feel about it, and how does that work in with the rest of your plans in Racine County?
So the status is that we've received the $40 million grant from the state of Wisconsin to build a 48 to 56 bed facility. The county will be putting in a little bit over $2 million of bondable money. So the cost is about $42.5 million. The state, like I said, the state awarded us the grant. The county passed it last Tuesday on a vote of about 19 to 1. And then this gives us the opportunity, Len, to turn the juvenile justice system upside down. What our goal is now with the new facility is to have zero detentions in Racine County. And eventually, maybe that facility will go from a secure facility to a non-secure facility. But it allows us to proactive work with our kids, our youth, not just in terms of getting job skills, but in terms of mental health services, in terms of physical health services, in terms of reintegration back to schools, and even more importantly, reintegration back to families. So it fits into our trauma-informed county model that we've started about 5 years ago, and we feel this is one of the major tools in our toolbox to be able to transform families who have barriers and challenges, and then make them sustainable and have great youth, and investing in our youth.
That's very, I'm really thrilled about hearing that. You know, the latest brain research shows that adolescents don't reach full brain maturity until much later than 17 or 18, particularly in the status of men. Men frequently don't have their brains really fully formed and executive function fully operational until their early 20s. So I have deep concerns about our so-called juvenile justice system, especially when people in the age of 17 get waived into adult court. I hope that in the future we will be more sensitive to science in the sense of treating juvenile offenders. One more quick question for you, County Executive Delagrave, and that is, how do you feel is the outlook for affordable rentals for families and for family businesses in Racine? Is it possible for families and family businesses to survive in the rental market?
Well, in Racine County, the answer is absolutely. So a while back, we brought our municipalities together to have a housing summit. And the first step was to convince all of our municipalities that versatile housing is important for a thriving municipality. So yes, $400,000 homes are great, but the truth of the matter is the amount of taxes that they pay out to the municipality isn't enough for the municipality to provide services. So you have a net loss. So, but housing that is affordable and that you can create some real density to it is important for your tax base. And you can have great affordable housing no matter the size and landscape of your municipality. And we've been able to do that. We've got now apartment or rental buildings in some of our most rural municipalities, like the Village of Waterford, onto the Village of Union Grove, and then, of course, in some of our more urban areas, like the city of Racine. So we've really done a good job of educating our municipalities. They've been really receptive. And look, some of those families who live in those higher density homes, they don't have children, not necessarily. So their use of taking their kids to practices and you know, using our roads less frequently because they're making less trips, that's also, you know, something that we want to point out, that the use of their services isn't much as maybe a family of four or five. So
that's very enlightening.
Yeah. So our housing summit really produced some net good results. And, you know, we need to continue to work on more versatile housing. You know, we didn't have a new housing development in eastern Racine County in a year that started with a 2 until last year. So we've come a long way in a short amount of time, and the future is bright for versatile, affordable housing in Racine County.
Thank you, and thanks very much to Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave for your time this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity, Len. I really appreciate it.
And now I'm speaking with the Kenosha County Executive, Jim Kruiser. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Len. How are you on this great Kenosha County day?
I'm doing well, and I'll be doing even better when I know that my taxes aren't going to go up next year. Is that going to be the case? I promised our listeners that they would find out from the three of you how their taxes are going to do next year from the counties. How are we looking in Kenosha County?
Well, Len, every day great things happen in Kenosha County, and you want to know about taxes right off the bat. And make no mistake, we've been challenged in 2020 on a variety of fronts, but I believe Kenosha County, there'll be plenty of positive change and bright days ahead for us in 2021, including on the average homeowner having the increase of their taxes be approximately 11 cents a month on the average home. So I think the equalized value and economic development here has grown the pie so that, in fact, the 2.99% increase of levy is actually a much smaller amount because of the amount of growth in equalized value within our community, which we've been lowering our mill rate for the last 7 years in Kenosha County. So it's really been a positive thing. So in the midst of all that, I have to give kudos to the Sheriff's Department, which is our largest area of tax expenditures. There's only two things we really purchase in Kenosha County, and that's personnel and material. And the Sheriff's Department and the correctional facility that we have, the sheriff took a very strong stand in that he wasn't going to let ICE detainees, when COVID broke out, be coming back and forth into our community to create more spread of the virus. At that point, with a day's notice, the federal government came in and said, well, you are no longer going to take these prisoners. We're moving them all down to Kankakee or somewhere in Illinois, of which they have since been moved there because I think that facility is now closed. But so we were left with a huge revenue hole, and the sheriff really drew down his budget, his personnel, and regeared mid-year to come very close to on budget, which was why the Kenosha County budget came in at such a good, modest lift for our community.
Well, I'm impressed because with a big budget hit like that and with maintaining and increasing services, as I see that you're doing on a holistic way for the whole county and its residents, including not only areas of social justice, but qualities of life, that's a difficult trick to pull off in this economy with, I suppose, total county revenues. What do they look like now? Earlier in the year, you were expecting that county revenues weren't going to look so bad because of doing pretty well with sales tax, with people coming from over the border. How did that picture shake out, Mr. Kruiser?
Well, I'll tell you what. We hit 5 record months of sales tax. Now, we have a 2-month lag on this, but 5 of our months have been record months all time on sales tax revenues. 2 of them before COVID has hit. And the rest of them since then. Our golf course has had about a net profit of over $800,000. we are not borrowing any money for the golf course. They're spending all the money they made this year on their capital improvements for next year. So they're, again, completely off the levy. Brookside, which has an incredible amount of difficulty during this time, has stayed on budget with the state and federal resources as they've been with a lower census, and we're keeping that on track. So we have a lot of moving parts in county government. It's $280 million, of which about 35% comes from the tax levy. The rest is state and federal money in which we have to keep track of and other revenues to make sure that we come in on budget every year. So I really am blessed to have such a great administrative team, not only my office, but my department and division heads that are really leaders, not only in the region, but they sit on boards nationally and are recognized for some of their work they do here. So we've been able to really hire quality people, and the frontline workers have been fabulous, just fabulous. And they've taken it on as a personal mission, especially the health department. Oh, my goodness. The people in the health department have gone above and beyond trying to work with people, sometimes not always polite in their discourse with our employees, and trying to help them as much as we can. But we've really done a fine job amidst the fighting at the federal and state level of what we can do and can't do. We've been able to keep things moving here in Kenosha County.
Now, up in Madison, they always seem to have the idea that they know better than the municipalities and the villages what's good for us and how much money we should pay in taxes. And they're always putting handcuffs, it seems to me, on you folks here at the local level. Jim Kreuzer, tell me, as a county executive, what would you tell our legislators that they should be doing in Madison to help you do your job for the citizens of your county?
Well, having served in Madison for a number of years, I will tell you, you get better governing when there's close margins. I was fortunate enough to be on a very close margin in the assembly and able to have relative parity and have compromise. That's when compromise was really a thing. And people from both sides figured out how to get it done. And we were better off as a state in our local communities. Currently, it's very one-sided. Hopefully, we won't have gerrymandered maps in the future. And the close margins creates better government and better public policy. So what is coming down the pike in this coming budget? Well, I can already tell you that during the last year, we had increased in placement costs, whether it's juvenile placements. If a judge locks somebody up, the taxpayers, you're footing the bill. And the rates of the state institutions and other costs have gone up. It's an unfunded mandate. The state is using that revenue in other ways and not being as most efficient as they can. And they just give us the bill and we have to pay it. That's over $1 million increase this past year. It's going to be more in the future. If you take the juvenile corrections, let alone the placement cost, but then you have the juvenile corrections cost, and there's different areas of these expenditures that we have to pay for that will be ratcheting up over the next several years as Lincoln Hills closes and a Racine correctional facility is put in place. I can see that our expenditures are going to increase. And we're just given a bill and told to pay it and live within that means. And we're working on a trajectory so we can do that. We've never had a budget go over 3% since I've been here in 12 years. And we've actually had some far under that. We had one at 0 1 year. But we're going to continue to expand the quality of life, invest in our infrastructure. 65% of the money we borrow is used for infrastructure, whether it's new roads or like Washington Road, going from Green Bay Road out to I-94. That's going to be another main artery for economic development and safe traversing. I mean, the backups there have been incredible. The accidents have been horrific. And this is going to take care of an issue that people are inconvenienced right now. But I haven't had a person come up to me and say, you know what, that road wasn't needed. In fact, that road has been needed for quite a while.
Desperately needed. Living out here in Whitecaps, I can attest to that personally. Now, County Executive Cruiser, Jim, the election is sort of past us. There's another lawsuit, and more than one lawsuit in Wisconsin about the presidential election, and maybe it'll end before I die. I don't know, but which I hope is a long way off. But the election experience, look back, hindsight, what have you learned? How do you feel about our election experience here? What have you got to say about the election experience in Kenosha County and how well it was done?
Again, the people who volunteered and ran the elections were frontline workers during COVID, handled it with professionalism, accuracy, and complete integrity of the system itself. The votes that were cast were counted, and I feel very, very good about the new county clerk, Reggie Bochachin, really did a fabulous job here in Kenosha County. And from what I heard statewide, it was run at a very high level of proficiency, and that's what we count on. We need to be able to count on elections that are done properly, and people have their opportunity to exercise their right to vote.
So you're not concerned about the election in Kenosha County at all, then?
I believe that the tallies were accurate. The results were the results.
Went very smoothly from my standpoint as an absentee voter. I can certainly say that. Mr. Cruiser, the sheriff's deputy body cams has been in the news on and off for several years now. What's the status of that going to be now? The budget is at a pretty well finished state. You know what the situation is going to be. What's going to happen with body cams in 2021? Do we know that they'll get turned on when they're supposed to be? Will dash cams be turned on when they're supposed to be? Will the citizens be able to feel that issue has been put to rest in 2021?
Yes, the budget follows through on the promise to outfit the sheriff's deputies with body cams. That's all personnel in and out of the building. We have a design where it's sewn into the fabric of the uniform, and in fact, the dispatch upon getting a call can draw a radius on a screen, and all officers within that area, their cameras will immediately go on. You'll be able to know if a officer is not vertical. It will come up on the screen to let people know that maybe there's an officer down. There's a way to, in fact, also control and take it out of the human error side of that. Those things are immediately, once they're within, say someone coming to a call is within that square or that drawing of that on the screen, their car and their body cams are immediately on. And they're very difficult to knock off because they're sewn within the uniform themselves. So this is a model that we've seen other departments use. The sheriff is very big on this, and they've been really proactive. And we're looking at this to be implemented. It won't be January 1, but it will be coming through the year in which this will be implemented in 2021. It's very exciting. A lot of new training, and, this whole year has changed us like a way 9/11 changed our air travel. In this budget, we have 6 new deputies to basically patrol our downtown campus on a rotation, the court systems, and also somebody to take care of the film on for the body cam. So it's law enforcement centric. And also quality of life centric with some other amenities we've done in Kenosha County.
Thank you very much, County Executive Jim Cruiser. We look forward to having you back on the program once again in the new year.
Very good. Thank you, Len. And you have a great year. And thanks for having me on the show.
And now we're going to turn to the Walworth County Administrator, Mark Liberta. Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Fine, Len. Thank you for having me on the show.
Now, we've been talking to the county executives about a lot of things going on in their counties, and I've promised our listeners that we would talk about taxes for sure. So why don't we start? Everyone wants to know that their taxes are stable, going down, if they're going up just by a smidgen. What's the outlook for taxes for the taxpayers in Walworth County, Mr. Liberto?
Well, I think Walworth County's increase in its budget this year, from the county perspective, falls into that smidgen category. The overall increase was 1.35%, which falls in line with the new growth that occurred. So a good way of thinking about it is the increase that we had in taxes is equal to the taxes being paid by the new construction. So on existing construction, there really isn't any increase in a net effect.
Well, that certainly is good news. Now, what's going to be the impact in terms of what people will feel in terms of the levels of services, maybe new roads, things that people will see, feel, and touch in the county? What can they expect in 2021?
Well, we didn't have any significant cuts anticipated within the budget. I really focused on trying to identify some new areas that we could work on some growth, and we were able to find a few. One in particular that I'm excited about, I look forward to seeing how it could work, which is something we've called an embedded response pilot program, which is we've got two positions, which are crisis intervention specialists, which will be embedded in two local police departments so that they will be there immediately to respond right with the officers and provide regular, you know, human services, crisis intervention on the scene once it's been stabilized enough by the officers so that that immediate crisis intervention can be dealt with by the trained professionals in that area to allow the sheriff's deputies or police officers to return to their normal work.
Well, that sounds like a very important initiative in a lot of ways. It's in long run, it's economical, I think, and it also uses resources in the best possible way at the right time. And it's very easy to put this within a social justice lens too, isn't it, County Administrator Liberto?
I think it clearly is, and that's why we did this initiative. We have called it a pilot program. We got a grant that's funding somewhere in the neighborhood of half, and we're doing some reallocation of internal resources for the other half. And it not only lets that specific event maybe occur better, not only for the officers, but for the people involved, but it brings our contact point to the point of the crisis where you can maybe more easily divert the people to the real resources that they may be needing a little more readily. You know, if something happens on a Friday and they don't get that human services contact till the Monday or Tuesday, you may not have that ready connection that can really be good for the people involved. So we thought it was a great program. I'm hoping the only problem I will have with the program is that it will be so successful, I will have to find more money because all of the police departments will want that similar access to first contact. We are making sure that there's some overspill into other areas and there's some overlap that they're going to be doing with the county sheriff's department relative to group homes and the jail services. So there's more than just these two resources doing it, but specifically we're embedding those two, and that should start pretty early in the new year.
Well, that's exciting. I hope you'll keep us in mind and put us in touch with the right folks to do a progress report at an appropriate time, sir.
Absolutely.
Now, you touched on the topic of police response. So since sheriff's deputy body cameras and dash cams have been topic A nationally and most certainly here in extreme southeast Wisconsin in the past few months, what's the status of that in your county?
Well, one thing about county government, separate from municipal government, is the sheriff is an independently elected constitutional officer. So a lot of the details of the goings on within the sheriff's department are things that I leave mostly to him to address. This budget for this year doesn't change our status at all. And I know that the department does operate with them now and does have them available. But I honestly, being new to the job, and that primarily fallen in his area, I can't tell you that there were any changes planned.
All right. We'll follow up on that at another time. Now, your budget is always an issue because you're not totally dependent on your local ability. You are restricted in many ways by Madison in terms of your levy limits and so forth. I wonder if you would just comment on your concerns, if any, with restrictions placed on the county's ability to maneuver financially and what you would hope for in the future for any changes.
Well, the levy limit is probably the largest single impact on budgetary decisions and our biggest threat or risk on current services going into the future. When I described our levy going up by a small amount, it is going up by the amount allowed by the levy increase, which is the total of net new construction. So since these levy increases were put in place over, 10 years ago, we haven't been able to increase the levy for existing properties, so to speak. I know people's taxes have gone up, but that's because equalized values change and the amount each property owner is responsible for can shift around. So it's for an individual taxpayer, that's sometimes hard to see when we say taxes didn't go up because maybe their area did or their home value style did. But that levy limit really does create that restriction that any new services, any change, sort of has to come from within, and we have to figure out how to absorb it. And the county has, over my predecessor and the county board, did an excellent job of eliminating debt. An annual tax levy that was going to pay off debt, they've been able to use to supplement that. Well, that ended. And so going forward, that stream that they've had to allow them continue to address changes that need to occur isn't going to be there going in the future. So that will be probably our biggest challenge with budgets going into the future.
Let me test to see if I grasp these concepts correctly, Mr. Liberta. Does this mean that the older parts of the city, the places that are less likely to generate new revenue from business development or massive new construction, does it mean that maintaining and improving the infrastructure in the older parts of the county, and particularly in the older parts of the cities, becomes increasingly difficult now in at the present and the near future, the way it looks?
Well, not in the sense that money isn't being generated by them and provided back to that area. I'm talking in the broader geographical sense, the county as a whole, because again, the county isn't likely spending money directly on internal city roads. They're probably doing their own city roads. We're just doing the county roads and we maintain state roads for them. But overall, if our revenues can't increase enough to maintain the infrastructure, then it can be more challenging. That tends to be capital projects, and Walworth County has had a long-standing practice of very solid capital program funding. And so that's actually probably one of the areas that is least likely to feel those impacts because of reserves that the county has and the way the county plans its capital improvement project. So I'm not as worried about the capital improvement side of the long-term maintenance as the operating side, which is more directly impacted by the levy limits imposed by the state.
Thank you. I think it's important for us all and for our listeners to understand these issues, because these are really important issues. And what happens between the counties and the state in that relationship has a massive impact, and it tends to be submerged in our daily news reporting. And so I think that, especially in terms of what the background is, so really appreciate you going into that a little bit. Now, your colleagues, the county execs in Racine and Kenosha, have been doing a lot of crowing and celebrating about expansion current and planned for the immediate future of bike trails connecting Burlington to the lakeshore. Do you want to talk about that and what the status of that is in Walworth County and your participation in that?
Well, we have some connections to those same trails linking over in Burlington. They're getting pretty close. I think some of the program that they're really working on right now will probably spur some of that discussion here further in the county. The White River Trail that we have is a gorgeous trail for biking, but it does sort of end just short of where you want to get. Now, that takes it to the end of our county, but I think the work they're doing, once they build those connections, will probably generate more discussion and issue on that. Our budget this year does continue the slow increase in the park development. And I think that's probably something the county over the next 10 years, if I were to guess, is probably going to see probably grow larger in a percentage basis than other areas of the budget. Because that quality of life that parks and parklands and park access gains is I think really important to citizens, and I think you'll see some growth there.
Well, it's going to be very exciting. I'm very happy to see that we've encouraged the bike trails, and the Rails to Trails program is really a wonderful one. Although I hate to see the loss of the rails, I think that's a long-term mistake, but the preserving of those trails and turning them into public use is a terrific idea, and I really applaud that. And it's exciting to know that Walworth will benefit from these current projects and that can stimulate further development in Walworth County, because then you can connect up to something, someplace to go on in terms of a long ride, which is important. That's what people want, and that's what they deserve.
I don't say all that just because I'm a little bit of a biker myself. I enjoy it quite a bit. So I just think, looking at the budget, that it is likely to be somewhere we'll see some growth in the park system overall.
County Administrator Liberta, you might have noticed we had a presidential election in Walworth County recently, and for some people, it's still not over. There's lawsuits all over the state, as you well know. With the benefit of hindsight and looking back, what do you think? How did the presidential and the other races, how did the election go in Walworth County? Are you satisfied? I know you're new in your job, so you get to come at it with a relatively fresh pair of eyes. How do you and the officials in Walworth County feel about how the election was run? And do you have any changes planned or refinements?
I probably won't answer that the same way that my Jim Cruiser did or County Executive Delagrave did, because they're elected officials as well. And so elections maybe have a little stronger import to them. I'm a sort of a trained hired professional in municipal management with a master's of public administration. And my concern about the elections is whether they occur accurately and smoothly. And the counts here in Walworth County did nothing to get them on the front of any newspapers. Everything worked well, was counted well. The system did exactly what it was supposed to. And when there was the potential for a recount, our county clerk, Kim Bushy, did an excellent job of being prepared and set up for that to occur. So I'm concerned about the administration of it, even though that falls under the county clerk. And from that end, things went very well in the county.
So that's a good report card. Well, I want to thank you, County Administrator Lombardo from Walworth County, and our other county administrators who have been my guests this morning on Community Matters. And we're hoping to have a similar roundtable with the mayors from our listening area early in the new year. So for Community Matters, this is Lena Aquinta urging you all to stay informed and get involved. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.